like that song, Gordon Lightfoot and Sundown. Well, gee, it seems like we just got the turntables all warmed up here, and we got to shut them down again. It's almost 10 o'clock, time for CBS News, then the CBS Radio Mystery Theater here on KOIN in Portland, Music Radio 97. Three final baseball scores. Atlanta beat Houston 1-0. The Pirates over the Mets tonight, 4-3. And the Oakland Rangers really clobbered the... Oakland beat the Texas Rangers 10-2. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. 11 hours from now, Gerald Ford becomes the 38th President of the United States.
I pledge to you tonight, as I will pledge tomorrow and in the future, my best cooperation, leadership, and dedication to what's good for America and good for the world.
Gerald Ford, speaking Wednesday evening, a half hour after Mr. Nixon announced his resignation. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The swearing-in ceremonies are scheduled for noon Friday, Eastern Time. Later, Mr. Ford is expected to make a nationally broadcast address to the American people. Mr. Ford announced Thursday evening that Henry Kissinger would remain as Secretary of State. Gerald Ford appeared briefly outside his home Thursday evening to comment on Mr. Nixon's decision.
This is one of the most difficult and very saddest periods, and one of the very saddest incidences I've ever witnessed. Let me say that I think the President of the United States has made one of the greatest personal sacrifices for the country, and one of the finest personal decisions on behalf of all of us as Americans by his decision to resign as President of the United States.
Gerald Ford. CBS News continues after this.
Hi.
Hi. I'm in nuclear research.
Nuclear research?
Uh-huh.
Hey, wow. I took you for a salami.
I beg your pardon?
A salami salesman, I thought for sure. Nuclear research.
Yeah.
And so young. Doesn't that take years and years of college?
Not necessarily. Well, today you can have a college grad's career with only a year or two of technical education. Look, it's all here in this free book, 25 Technical Careers in 2 Years or Less. It tells you how you can get into programming, chemistry, architecture, community service work, forestry.
Forestry? That would be great for this friend of mine. He loves to play in the woods.
Play in the woods?
Where do you get this free book, 25 Technical Careers?
Just write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202?
Yeah. Send for it. It tells you how you can have a college grad's career without 4 years of college.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
The Nixon family will leave 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the White House, Friday morning about 9:30. The goodbyes to cabinet members and White House staff, a helicopter ride to the airport, then Air Force One for the trip back to California. Richard Nixon will leave Washington as President Nixon. While he is airborne, the letter of resignation will be delivered to the Secretary of State, and he will be Mr. Nixon when the family lands in California. In a 17-minute address to the nation Thursday evening, Mr. Nixon acknowledged Watergate had destroyed him politically.
Throughout the long and difficult period of Watergate, I have felt it was my duty to persevere, to make every possible effort to complete the term of office to which you elected me. In the past few days, however, it has become evident to me that I no longer have a strong enough political base in the Congress to justify continuing that effort.
It is what Mr. Nixon did not say in his speech that has prompted Senator Edward Brooke to say he will drop his move in Congress to get immunity for President Nixon. Senator Brooke notes in Mr. Nixon's resignation speech Thursday night admitted errors in judgment, but he did not state what the errors in judgment were. Senator Brooke wants a full confession. Other reactions to Mr. Nixon's resignation, Senator Edward Kennedy, the night of Watergate is over, America can become whole again. House Speaker Carl Albert, he could not be president and worry about Watergate too. Senator Charles Percy, it is important to remember that the Nixon presidency was brought down finally by the president's own words and actions. More after this.
Thank you. Jensen on location and on the set for the United Way.
Well, I never really knew what the United Way was all about. But I now know that when I gave, I was there. Just like when you give, you're all there. And you're there every time a kid is afraid, every time an old person is lonely, or every time somebody is hungry. You're there. We all know that giving is good, right? Makes you feel good. It's more than that. I mean, when you give, you say, don't give up. You'll make it. I want to tell you something. If you give, it's going to be one of the greatest things you've done all year long. It can make people's dreams come true. It can be a piece of that dream. And someday, a piece of that dream might help you.
In other news, wholesale prices increased almost 4% for the month of July, meaning higher consumer prices in the weeks and months to come. The House of Representatives has approved a broad campaign finance reform bill, which would limit campaign spending and provide subsidies for presidential elections. The foreign ministers of Greece, Britain, and Turkey meet again tomorrow in Geneva in an attempt to solve the Cyprus problem. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
The following test is for parents only. What do you do when your 16-year-old goes out joyriding in the family car and comes home with a speeding ticket? What do you do when your kids start complaining about the beautiful meal you just prepared? What do you do when your company transfers you to another city and you have to move your family? Now, how would you like to try these problems? What do you do when you live in a rough neighborhood?
We have to keep them inside because it is dangerous out on the street. They get enticed to fight. Our kids will get killed or hurt real bad.
What do you do when you do have a job and still can't make it?
It's either I feed my kids and send them to school or have a roof on top of their heads.
What do you do when you want desperately to support your family but just isn't a job?
The only thing I could do is leave home and leave the mother and the children go on the county. There'd be no other choice for me.
Poverty doesn't leave much choice. Help break the circle of poverty. Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents E.G. Marshall. Ferndale is an average small American town surrounded by nice middle-class American homes. It is located in a middle America state and is about as representative of the United States and what its citizens are all about as you can imagine. Nobody in an atmosphere like this has any contact with violence nor walks in any fear. Except who knows what hides in the private jungle beyond any respectable door.
Pow! Got you. Dead center.
All right, Billy. Give me the guns.
Oh, Mom, can't I take them to school?
Sorry, partner.
But I wanted to show Clancy Williams.
Unlatch that belt, pale face, or I'll use it to make your other end red.
Better get on your horse.
Bye, Mom. I love you.
I love you too, Billy boy. And I also could kill your Uncle Ralph for this stupid birthday present. Guns. What place do they have in our life? Or anyone's? Why does the back doorbell always ring when you're at the front? Coming! All right, all right. What's so important? Yes?
Hello, wife. Long time no see.
Who are you? What do you... Oh. Oh, no. No. It could be...
Our mystery drama, You Only Die Once, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin, and stars Joan Loring and Joseph Julian. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated,
brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Buick introduces a new concept for you to consider in light of all the concern about miles per gallon. Range. Range is what you get when you multiply the mileage your car gets per gallon by the number of gallons your car's gas tank holds. Range is one of the things that help make Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon gas tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Once upon a time, it came to pass a new law, and great changes came over the people. They were happy and busy themselves at work they enjoyed. They were kind to the earth, and it gave back to them. No one had to lock doors or put fences around their land. Everyone had enough to eat. The sick and the aged were cared for. The people stood proud and tall.
In the land of make-believe, there were no poor. The Campaign for Human Development is working to make the same thing happen in our real world.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
Hey, we're the Action Corps.
See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it now that we need you.
We could go on all day.
Oh,
here's why
volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into Action.
Oh, yeah.
This is the public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Marge Stanley loves her mornings. In fact, she loves her whole life. It suits her. It's just her style. She's naturally a morning person. By 8 a.m., Billy is off for school and her husband Howard off for the bank. Then she has a long, long morning to set the house to rights, blaze a little in the bathtub, freshen and dress crisp and smart as always. It's a routine that never tires and is seldom broken. And certainly never as rudely and shockingly as this day that brings terror, violence, and the threat of death to her loved ones and herself.
Hey, Marge, come on, snap out of it.
What happened to me?
You passed out.
Oh, I remember I opened the back door, and even with the beard, I thought for a moment, but you can't be. It's 8 years ago, and he's dead. He's dead.
You mean Lou Miller?
Yes.
The guy that drowned in the reservoir?
My first husband. Who died?
You mean your husband? I didn't die, Marge. I'm still alive.
Oh, no. No, please. It couldn't be. Please, God. Howard is my husband. Howard Stanley is my husband. Whoever you are, please go.
You know who I am, Marge, just as well as I do.
But you drowned.
There was no body, Marge, remember?
You didn't drown. You are Lou.
That's right, baby. I've been fingerprinted enough places to nail that down for sure. No welcome home kiss for your loving husband?
You're not. I have a husband.
A meek little Joe who took off for his daily walk to the bank, huh? Mr. Howard Stanley, right?
Yes.
And a son, too. Cute looking kid. How old is he?
He's 7.
Yeah? Big for his age, huh? And smart, too, I bet.
He's very smart. Just like Howard.
must be. 7 years old and in the fourth grade.
Never mind, Billy. It's you. What happened? Where have you been?
Now, that's, like they say, a long story. Tell you what, why don't you fix me some eggs and bacon the way you used to? And some good hot steaming drip coffee, like the old days. And while you're at it, you and me can have a good long talk about the future.
What did you come back for, Lou?
I'm your husband.
After walking out on me for 7 years?
I didn't walk out on you, babe. Remember, I was dead.
But you're not. You just deserted me.
Did you get a divorce?
Why should I get a divorce when everybody's...
So, you see, we're still married.
Luke, what happened? Where have you been?
Remember that summer march?
I'm not likely to forget.
Them three fellas held up that hat stand bank and lit out with $100,000. Boy, was I glad I was at Empanada that year. When they dragged the reservoir where they were sure the guys dumped the loot before they caught him, they couldn't turn up a thing. They did post the reward, 10,000 smackers.
Biggest thing ever happened in our part of the country. How could I forget?
Boy, I'm telling you, sugar, I thought them water wrinkles would never wear out of my skin from diving after that bonanza.
We were going to use the 10,000 for down payment on a house and a car.
Are you kidding? I ever found that suitcase jammed in some crack? I wasn't going to look up on a reward. That was all gone to me.
You found it.
No, I didn't find it. I worked down to the deep end. It was a good 150 feet there. What happened to me was I got swept into the spillway.
The what?
Where the water runs out of the reservoir. Must have caught my head a real crack. I was stuck in a kind of a pipe. I got out of my tanks, and then I passed out. I must have lost my face mask then, too.
Yeah, that's how come the insurance company and everybody else thought you must be drowned. What happened to you?
When I came to, I was lying in some reeds, like half buried in the mud. There was blood all over my face. I didn't know where I was. Well, get this, Marge, because it's what counts. I didn't know who I was. And I either got out of the flippers or I lost them. And all I had on was a pair of swim trunks.
What did you do?
I busted in some house and I got some clothes. And I lit out, hiking. Worked my way west, working odd jobs. And I figured I couldn't keep drifting forever. I had to establish some sort of,
identity.
Yeah, that's it. Like who I was. I had to be someone. So I joined the service. 6-year hitch. And 2 nights after I'm out, I got hit in the head in a barroom Brannigan, and pow, I remember who I am. So I figured I'd come home. You and me have some talking to do.
What?
I need a steak, Marge. Some dough. That's one reason I looked you up.
Well, I could let you have $15 or maybe $25.
Oh, don't kid around with me, baby. I said a steak. You know what I'm talking about. Real money. I had to do quite a bit of digging to turn you up when I got back to Ferndale.
You mean other people know you're alive?
Don't panic, doll. I ain't stupid. I may not be long on schooling, Mrs. Miller, but I got what it counts up here.
Mrs. Howard.
Well, now, that's the real question, ain't it? Just whose wife are you?
Well, now, be reasonable, Lou. There isn't any question of that. I mean, you and I were married less than a year. Howard and I have built a life together for nearly 7 years.
What does your husband do at the bank?
He's, a bank officer.
Class job, huh? He's pretty good, huh?
Banks don't pay that much money.
Not even to senior vice presidents? I told you I've been snooping around a couple of days, sweetheart, so don't try any tricky stuff. Now, let's get down to real business. Just what's it worth to you to keep this happy little home you got all in one piece?
I don't think I have to tell you what it's worth. I have a savings account. I've been saving for years for a trip we wanted to take. If you'll get out of my life again, you can have it.
How much?
It's Nearly $3,500.
And where is it?
At the bank.
Your husband's bank?
Yes.
What would you do? Just go there and draw it out?
Yes.
Supposing your husband caught you doing it, how would you explain?
I'll go on his lunch hour. He won't have to see me.
And where will I be?
You can wait here or come with me, whatever you want.
And no cops. No mention of any of this.
Do you think I want anyone to know you're still alive? That no matter how innocent it was, I've been living with another man as his wife when I wasn't really. You think I want Billy mixed up in this? It's a small town, Lou. And a lot of people are smaller, and this happens to be a terribly important time in my husband's life.
Yeah, I gathered from the posters. Running for mayor, ain't he?
I don't want to discuss Howard with you. I just want to do whatever I can from hurting that man I love. So I will go to the bank and get the money, or you can come with me.
All right, let's knock off all the pretty talk and take a real look at where we stand. Now, you're not paying me off with any measly $3,500.
How much do you want?
Something in the neighborhood of 30,000 green ones.
Oh, you must be crazy. We haven't got that kind of...
I had an insurance, Marge, remember? 15,000, double indemnity.
Oh.
They ever pay off?
Well, I...
Oh, come on, then. Don't try to give me any hard time.
Yes, they did.
So, of course, you blew it all on a new house and goodies. If I lay you out, you got a sock full of other dough somewheres. You'll pay off.
Why should we?
Because you've been living with a man you're not legally married to.
I'd get a lawyer's opinion, first of all. And I would be willing to bet right now that no court would hold me or Howard responsible for an honest mistake.
You'd have to give back all that pretty insurance money. You can't collect on a corpse that ain't.
That could be arranged.
Ah, so you do have it socked away.
Whether or not we do is none of your business.
There's another little thought you might have in mind. How many votes do you think it's going to cost your husband for mayor when I make this public?
You're just as much of a louse as I discovered right after I was stupid enough to marry you. Howard will take his chances. I think I can speak for him.
Can you speak for him on everything?
What are you getting at now?
The one other person concerned in all this. Billy.
You leave Billy out of this.
How can we?
He has nothing to do with you.
It was a good try, Marge. But what kind of a lunkhead do you think I am? First moment I found out there was a kid involved, yesterday, I went and looked up the birth certificate.
Oh.
Billy ain't no 7 years old. He's 8.
Huh.
And as stupid as I am, I can count. That makes him my kid.
He doesn't know that, Lou. He thinks Howard is his own father.
Okay, baby, we could leave it that way. Just so you come through with the 30 grand. That's the only way you're going to get rid of me now. Until then, you got a monkey on your back.
Poor Marge. Her relaxed morning has been shattered as thoroughly as her nerves. And deep as the threat to her immediate happiness seems, she has no conception of how vicious and violent her fight to protect her family is going to be. With her head swimming, she looks again at the man sprawled on the couch and hopes that it's only some ghastly dream. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Tall, frosty glass of Amplitude? Well, if your beer is Budweiser, you've had it often. Amplitude is a fancy word for the entire taste phenomenon, the total experience of flavor. Next time you take a healthy swallow of Bud, watch what happens. Think about the sensations you're experiencing. Notice how the flavor of Bud comes on nice and easy. Not too strong, not too quick. Just right. Notice the clean, crisp togetherness of Bud's taste. Everything in perfect balance, with no single element jumping out at you. And there'll be no aftertaste either, no hanging on. And you'll be refreshed and ready for another glassful. Actually, bud drinkers have been experiencing Amplitude for years, but they never phrase it that way. They just say Budweiser, and that says it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problem? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
What with all this oil shortage and all, Mrs. Nye talking about having our furnace checked out. I wonder what we should do.
I can give you some advice about what to do.
Yeah? Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. Now, it may be true that your furnace is in need of repair or even replacement. But don't be rushed into such a decision. Shop around. Get two or three estimates. Don't sign any contracts until you have read and understood it thoroughly. And if the installation requires alterations to your home, be sure a permit has been obtained if required. And don't sign a completion certificate until that work has been satisfactorily completed. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
The shock of meeting a husband you have believed dead for over 8 years is enough to numb and scramble anyone's mind. At least Marge found it so. She couldn't believe that Lou was any real danger to breaking up her present family legally, nor that the publicity would mean anything in Howard's campaign. But two things did terrify her. The effect it might have on Billy, and the tension, the kind of mad and inhuman quality that underlay everything that Lou said, as though, in some inexplicable way, he was dead inside. That he was a ghost returned from the grave.
You stay away from Billy.
From my own son?
He's no son of yours.
Like I told you, I seen the birth certificate.
I didn't mean that. I mean he's nothing like you. God. And he worships his father. I mean Howard.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Let it go. Don't answer.
Oh, that... It's Bob Bristol's car in the driveway. I can see it from here. They're next door neighbors. They know I'm home.
All right. Go answer. There are no tricks or funny business.
Put that pistol away.
So open the door. Find out what he wants. Don't let him come in, or I'll drop him like a bowling pin.
All right, but... Don't lose your head.
You just worry about your own.
Hi, Mark. Sorry if I disturbed you.
No, I was in the kitchen.
I didn't want to come at all because, to tell you the truth, I thought you might have sneaked back to bed for a nap.
Oh, no, I was just going to get dressed and go marketing.
I know. You're the morning person. That's what Betty calls you. This is all the junk on the community chest Betty promised you.
Oh, that's great.
How's it going? Dragging any formidable loot?
Over 60,000 up to now, and we're only halfway along.
Well, keep it in a safe place.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you feeling all right?
Me? Why?
Well, you look a bit pale, you know, sort of drawn.
Maybe I'm just picking up a little cold.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, I got a customer waiting.
Uh-huh.
$60,000, huh?
Oh, don't get your hopes up, Lou. It's all in small checks, most of them at the bank, and all made out to community chest. Even you couldn't figure a way to get your claws on that money.
All right, you can cut the comedy. I have my own way, and not much more time to waste. I've been figuring while I was waiting for that used car salesman.
Bob's a stockbroker.
I want you to call your husband and get him home here from the bank.
I can't do that.
Well, you better dial, or I'll lock you in a closet and go down there and bring him back my own way. I got to get all this settled today.
But I can't bring Howard home from the bank. What could I possibly...
Don't answer it.
That's silly. Why not? What am I going to do? Scream for help?
Just don't answer it. You're out.
But it might be Betty ringing to make sure Bob dropped off the stuff. Oh, that's right. Howard was going to call about us having lunch together.
Okay. There's an extension in the kitchen, right?
Yes.
I'll be listening. And don't try anything or I'll kill you. Might as well know. I have nothing to lose.
Hello?
Darling, it's Howard. I'm calling about lunch.
Where are you winding me?
Well, what was that?
What was what?
Was Billy home? Anyone with you?
Why, no. Why?
It sounded as though someone was on an extension.
Oh, don't be silly about lunch. Why don't we have it here at home?
Well, I'd veto that anyway, but it's what I was calling about. I can't make lunch.
Oh.
I've got to run up to the state capitol and have lunch with a man.
I'm certainly glad it isn't another woman. Couldn't you put it off for today?
I'm sorry, honey. Not a chance. See, this guy has got the votes I need in his pocket. I want to be mayor, honey. Just long enough to clean up our own little backyard.
I know, dear. So, when will I see you?
All around dinner time. I love you. You take care of yourself.
I love you. Howard.
Why did you let him get away like that?
What could I do?
I'll tell you what you're going to do. Call him back. Get him here.
How?
I don't care how. Tell him you're sick or Billy's sick.
Lou, I can't get away with that now.
You do, I tell you, damn it! Call him.
Why can't I tell him the truth?
You want to?
He's got to know sometime.
All right, then tell him. Tell him here, where I can handle him. And he doesn't get any fancy ideas of ringing in anyone else. Dial.
I'll call his private number. Heard for yourself on the extension.
Yeah. Well, maybe just as well. Now, look. I'm coming back to something. That insurance money.
But it doesn't really exist now. You're alive.
Listen to me.
Please. That hurts.
There's a lot more things going to hurt if things don't go my way. Now, first, the insurance money. Where is it? Don't get me mad, baby. Your things are going to start getting real rough.
When it finally came through, we put it in a custodian account for Billy.
That's real nice. Only Billy doesn't need it anywhere near like his old man does. So I'll tell you what. We got it made. Howard's out of the picture. So you and me will just stroll over to the bank. You can draw out the 30 grand and give it to me. And all our troubles will be over.
That won't work, Lou.
Why not?
Because Howard is the custodian, not me.
Damn. Why does everything have to go sour for me? Now what are we going to do?
I told you, I have a little money in the bank.
Now let's forget that chicken dribble. You don't seem to realize the spot you're in, Marge. I'm no small-time operator anymore. The chips are all down with me, so I can't lose except all the way. But you better listen to me and jump whenever I tell you to.
You don't sound real.
Well, this ain't no ghost story, honey. You're going to have to live with this one. And I'm stuck here until that half-pint husband of yours gets back.
Why don't you go away and come back this evening? I've got a whole day of appointments.
I ain't going nowhere. Neither are you.
But this is... It's just like kidnapping.
You named it, baby. You named it. All we're waiting for now is the payoff. Hey, hold on, Marge. Where do you think you're going?
I was just going to the front door. It's about time for Billy to be coming home from school.
You just stay away from doors. I'll tie you up. I've been on the go so long, I've forgotten what sleep is.
Tie me up?
Yeah. I don't want to take no chances. You get some crazy idea taken off. We're calling the police.
With Billy coming home, I wouldn't dare.
To leave him alone with me, huh?
Yes. And why would I call the police? You do have some right to be here.
Look, I'm desperate, Marge. I'm not kidding you anymore. All that guff about getting amnesia and stuck in the spillway, forget it. I was just trying to keep things nice and simple at first.
You found that money in the reservoir all those years ago.
That's right. I was going to take off from you anyway. You and me were a mistake from the beginning.
Oh, That's true enough.
You just wanted kids and a home. I wanted the big time. For a while, I had it. I left my air tank and my face mask bobbing in the middle of the lake, and I swam ashore. I took off for Vegas. Had a run of bad luck, so I blew the $100,000. I had to get even with the tables, so I used a little muscle here and there with the private citizens to keep myself in bread.
You mocked people?
One looks so holier than thou. I got my comeuppance, if you want to know. 6 of the years since I left you, I spent in security prisons. I won't tell you what for. I'll tell you one thing. The next thing they get me for, if there is to be one, that's it. I'm in for good. So don't make any mistakes about how desperate I am. So get away from that door now. Make me some coffee. And where's the jar?
It's on the way to the kitchen. Mom. Good. She's in the kitchen. Just get my guns and strap them on. Better hide unless that's the law.
I could use something to eat with a coffee.
All right, Lou. Who's Lou? Well, Billy, you just gotta find out.
See who it is. It's the kid.
Gee, you turned and hit the floor fast. That's a good trick.
I'll tell you another good trick, Shrimp. You ever heist anyone and he turns on you, don't you hold back on the trigger ever.
But you were so fast.
I could have put a bullet right through you, kid.
Is that a real gun?
Ah, what would I be doing with a real gun? This is just a present for a kid I know.
It sure looks real.
Yeah, so do yours.
Yeah. Who are you?
This is a friend of your Uncle Ralph, Billy. Right, Lou?
Yeah, that's right. You could call me Lou.
I'm Billy.
Put it there, partner.
Shake.
Your Uncle Ralph just wanted to make sure you liked the guns. So I said I was passing by and I'd stop in and check.
Oh, they're super.
Hi, darling. I was just trying to find the darn key. Who are you?
Unexpected visitor. A friend of the family. Marge's side. She asked me to get the door. She's feeding Billy. Come on in.
Oh, sure. Sorry. Just it was such a surprise. Have we ever met?
No. Oh, don't let the get-up put you off. I just came off a camping trip.
Oh. Well, you seem to know who I am. You want to tell me who you are?
Sure. Lou Miller.
Lou Miller? But you're dead.
That would make it simple, huh? No matter how scary a ghost is, there are ways of making him disappear. Now, me, Howard, I'm the real McCoy. Like, if you want it right between the eyes, I'm Marge's real husband, and that's my kid inside.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it won't take too much praying to turn me back into a ghost. That's what you and me are going to talk over, Howard. You're the only one with the keys to turn time back again. Just the way it was.
A completely stunned Howard can only stare at this specter from the past. A man so evidently his physical superior that he could not solve anything on that level. Nor on any other level, as he is about to find out. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
You've been hearing some pretty lavish claims recently about miles per gallon. We'd like you to consider something equally important, and that's range. Range is the miles per gallon multiplied by the number of gallons your car's tank holds. Range is what makes the Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
A variety of assistance is available to the blind. Rehabilitation and library services can be had in every part of the nation. Cash payments for the needy. and training in skills and techniques. You can help. For information, contact your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind or write me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
About to have his first meeting with something which neither you nor I, or at least most of us, would be able to handle. Total immorality. And it takes not much longer than a few minutes, both to tell Howard the story of Lou, and very little longer to realize that he is dealing with a man who has nothing left to lose. Not even his conscience.
What you suggest to Marge is impossible.
Why?
Because everything, bank books, money, drafts, checks, anything valuable is locked up in the vaults by now.
So? You're executive vice president, aren't you?
Yes.
You got the keys, haven't you?
Yes. Once the time lock disengages, which will be, let's see, it's 6 o'clock now, exactly 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
You mean you can't get in there tonight?
You'd need an atom bomb to blow that vault door open.
The first thing tomorrow morning, you could get those bank books and cash in the dough.
Well, I could, but I can't.
Why not?
Because, first of all, the money for the insurance was left in trust to Billy. It could only be spent on him. But that no longer holds either. The money isn't Billy's or anyone's but the insurance company's now.
How come?
It was paid in good faith because you were presumed to be dead. And you are quite manifestly alive.
Now look, don't give me none of that lawyer double talk. Who knows I'm alive except you and me and Marge?
Look, suppose I did go along with you. As soon as you'd leave, what's to stop me from going to the police and telling them what's happened?
For this chicken feed, not much. Wouldn't be worth coming back to put a bullet hole through your head, or Marge's, or the kids.
Your own son?
Who wants him? I never did. One big reason I lit out. You're welcome to him.
Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Why didn't you come in and see me as soon as you got home?
Well, I knew you were eating dinner. We have a visitor.
He heard his father's voice, and there was no holding him.
Want to see some of the tricks Uncle Lou's been showing me with my gun?
Uncle?
Lou's a friend of Ralph. Howard, and just sort of got made an honorary uncle.
It's all right, Marge. I know who Lou is.
Oh, the twirly parts I'm not so good at yet because my hands are kind of small and I haven't had enough practice, Lou says. But I'll show you one thing he taught me. Turn around, Lou.
Billy, I really think...
It's okay, Marge. Let the kid have his fun. Okay, I'm turning my back. I don't know you're there.
Stick him up.
Ah, you got me.
That's it. See, Daddy? See? If you're going to heist a guy and he starts to turn on you, hit the trigger right away.
That's what Uncle Lou taught you?
If you don't want to find yourself dead.
But supposing the other man doesn't have a pistol?
Who takes chances? Besides, Billy knows I have one. Still there, you see?
That's not a real pistol either.
Oh, of course it isn't. Who'd have a real pistol in this house?
Can we play some more now?
Nope, Billy. That's enough. Time for bed. Let's go.
But I don't want to go to bed. I want to play some more.
It's time, son.
Oh, well, okay. You'll come up and say goodnight too, Uncle Lou.
Sure, sure. If you take off right now with your mother.
Okay, chum. Up the wooden hill.
You always say that. It's a staircase.
It's what my mother always used to say to me.
You're a cute kid. You wouldn't think it, But I really go for kids. And them for me. Him and me can have a real ball this weekend.
You're not welcome in this house.
What's the matter, Howard, boy? You afraid I'm going to let Billy know you ain't his real father?
For his sake. It would be better for your son not to have his whole life shaken up.
Well, I got news for you. If you and Marge don't play things my way, his whole family's going to get shook right out of sight. Now go pour me a shot till we get the kid out of this, and I can lay out for you and Marge just how we're going to play this thing.
You can't ask me to rob my own bank.
I ain't asking, I'm telling you. Now, Monday morning, once that time lock's off, you pack a suitcase with 250 grand. And don't go writing down serial numbers. And keep the bills as small as you can.
But what's the point? You can't get away with it.
I'll be sitting here with Marge and Billy. And little Bertha here. Anything goes wrong with the outline I already gave you. Anything. You're suddenly out a wife and a kid. Right?
But no matter how much time we try to set up for you, your getaway, the police will be right on your trail.
How, Howie boy? How? I'm dead, remember? I don't even exist. Who'd be looking for me?
When we tell our story.
Don't you see it all, Howard? Do you think any of us is going to be alive after...
Who the devil is that? What kind of a double cross is this? That's a sheriff.
Now, look, don't lose your head. He's an old friend. He could have stopped by for a dozen reasons.
Well, one of them better not be me. Now, listen, both of you. I'm going upstairs with Billy. You leave all the doors open. If anything goes wrong, let me tell you both, this is a real gun. And the first shot I fire goes right through that kid's head.
Your own son. What kind of a man are you?
The kind neither of you Betsy's would like to find out about. Open up and get rid of him.
Hey, Jim.
The lights are all on. I knew someone had to be home.
Yeah, well, we were just sitting down to dinner.
Well, this won't take long, but I'd like to step inside.
Sure.
Hi, Marge.
Hello, Jim.
Everything okay?
Of course. Why not?
Well, I don't know. You just don't look yourself. You're always so full up of the old get up and go.
Oh, Dad, I think I got a touch of the flu.
Oh, sorry. It's going around these days. I got two deputies out with it. Or else they got a couple of girlfriends. My phone tabs haven't turned up.
Maybe there's a gap in the tape. Jim, Marge sort of had dinner on the table, practically, so,
Oh, sure. But, what I have to say can be said quickly. Maybe shouldn't be said at all, but... You're two old friends of mine not to. That's a flyer just came in this morning to the sheriff's office. Here. You two have a gander at it. You don't have to read all the writing. I'll, give you the gist. That there's a picture of John Clemens wanted for armed robbery and the killing of a policeman in California. Out on parole from Soledad State Security Prison. Alumnus of Joliet, armed dangerous, to be approached with caution. Three former suspected murders will shoot to kill. Nothing to lose. Because when he's taken this time, he goes up the river the rest of the way.
I don't know any John Clemens.
Nor I.
But if his name wasn't John Clemens, wouldn't you know him? If his name was maybe Lou Miller?
But Lou's dead.
Lou isn't dead. This guy Clemens was in the service. I got a set of his fingerprints from there. And 8 years ago, when Lou swore on as deputy to dive in the reservoir looking for the money that got stolen... He had to record a full set of fingerprints. No, sir, I'm sorry to have to say it for many reasons. They're the same guy. Lou Miller is still alive.
Well, all right. Now, look, suppose he is. What's that got to do with us?
I don't know. Maybe nothing. But there is Billy, and this guy is on the run and desperate. Just in case, I'm going to give you some protection. Can I use the phone?
Well, what for?
Well... You might turn up here. I'm going to cover you for a while with a 24-hour guard.
Okay, everyone, freeze. Don't anybody make even one little move.
So you beat me to it, Lou.
You always move too slow, Jim. March, Howard, get back in that corner.
Lou, don't lose your head.
Just what I'm planning to keep. Come on, move. That's better. Okay, Jim. Just face me like you are. And very slow and easy, slip the buckle and drop your gun belt. That's it. Right on the floor. That's right. Now, you got any rope, heavy cord, wire, adhesive tape in the house? Come on, come on. You know I ain't got nothing to lose by now. Want me to shoot you instead of tying you up?
I just bought some new rope for... What difference does it make? It's in the kitchen closet.
Okay, everyone. Now, just let's move out to the kitchen. Careful. Real careful. That's it. Keep moving. Don't try anything. Into the kitchen. That's it. Now, I'm just staying here in the door. Marge, you sit at the table. You too, Sheriff. Howard, fetch the rope.
Stick him up!
Oh,
oh, oh. Oh, see? I did it right again, Uncle Lou.
Billy, where did you get that gun?
Well, you took mine away, and then you were all playing games, and everybody else was having fun. So I came downstairs, and I found this heavy old gun by the living room door. Gosh, it makes a loud bang, doesn't it, Uncle Jim?
Well, it sure does, Billy. Marge, why don't you take Billy back to bed?
But I want to say goodnight to Uncle Lou.
Billy, son, don't spoil the game. Uncle Lou's just playing possum to make you look real good. Now, don't spoil his game, huh? How is he, Sheriff?
Bullet got him right in the spine. Too late for the ambulance.
How is he, Howard?
This time he's gone for good. Did you get Billy to bed?
Yes. What's going to happen to us now? Howard, what have I brought on you?
We'll weather it, Marge.
But the whole story will come out now. And I'm not thinking about us. But what it'll do to Billy. What a thing to grow up with.
Just a minute, you two. Isn't there a quote somewheres about God moving in a mysterious way his wonders to perform?
That's almost the exact quote, but...
Main thing, it seems to me, in all this is to keep Billy from being all broke up over what was an accident.
Jim, when this story breaks in the papers, how can it be kept from Billy?
The question is first, can it be kept out?
How?
Of course, there's got to be a story. A man is dead. But a story about...
What
man?
I don't understand you.
You're returning that insurance money to the company, of course, Howard.
Well, naturally.
So now let's take a good, hard look at the rest of it. Now, I intend to have a long talk with Judge Markham. Now, I can't answer for him, of course. But I've known him all our lives. Now, if I was in his place, here's the way I see it. This man's legal name is John Clemens. He's been using that name for over 8 years. He's a known killer. There's a statewide alarm out for him. So now, here's me, the sheriff, an old friend of yours, visiting for the evening, when this John Clemens tries to pull off a heist. 2 shots are fired, one from my gun, one from his. The one from my gun kills this John Clemens. So, where does Lou Miller figure in this? A man already dead 8 years?
You mean Billy? The whole time? Doesn't have to know exactly what he's done.
It was an accident, Marge. The child has no idea what he's doing. Who'd want to place this burden on his shoulders? Like I say, it's not my decision, thank God. But I'd hoped Judge Markham'd feel about it that you only get a chance to live once. Seems fair enough to me. The best you ought to have is, like him, one chance to die.
What would you do? What would I do? Faced with a decision like this. Open up an old closed Pandora's box and saddle an 8-year-old child with a swarm of circumstances he's not equipped to handle and mark him for life? Or leave the alternative truth that a man who chose another life and another name and who long deserved to die finally met his comeuppance? Killed by a bullet, fired in self-defense. Perhaps the sheriff said it best. God moves in mysterious ways. I'll be back shortly.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life and be free and see. Where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I finished school, but what lies ahead? Don't want to get trapped, want to feel free instead. All over the world, there's so much to do. The call of the sea, don't you hear it too? Where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here?
What about the new Navy? You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in a new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
At 8 years old, there are ghosts and goblins, mysterious figures that move through trees, phantom ghosts that can leap into the mind and spin it flying the wrong way. But time goes by, and a boy grows up, and with two understanding parents and a sheriff who opens his files to let a young man read the truth of his background, Billy can accept his father for what he was and thank his lucky stars for the foster one his mother provided for him. Our cast included Joan Loring, Joseph Julian, Tom Keener, Dan Ocko, and Hetty Galen. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Sanford, I'm finished with the job, and I want your okay.
I'll put on the pot and give you a cup of coffee.
Thanks, I'd appreciate that. Come right down, I'm in a bit of a hurry.
Won't be a minute. I'm coming, Mr. Carroll.
Mrs. Sanford, the strangest thing.
What did you say, Mr. Carroll?
Look at that wall.
Oh, dear. Another crack?
No, it's not another crack.
What?
It's the same crack. I just filled it with cement.
But you couldn't have. It looks old and dry.
Look at my hands. They're still covered with cement. Here are my tools, my trowel. I could swear it was closed up not 5 minutes ago.
And that cold glass flowing from it.
Like from a tomb.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Conley, news reporter, tells about some of the differences that make KOIN news.
This is one of the big challenges, and it's one of the big thrills, if you want to use that word, that I've found in radio. Being able to go on when it's happening, to describe an event as it takes place, to put that event in perspective, to tell the people why it's important. You can also obtain a great deal of depth in a story by covering it from a number of different angles. You may be able to get the main story and the reactions of people with differing points of view on the air and have that story in several different perspectives before it can be aired on television or before it's set up and typed and printed in the newspaper.
KOIN, News Radio 97.
KOIN Portland, it's 11 o'clock. CBS News, 10 hours from now, Gerald R. Ford becomes the 38th President of the United States. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Richard Nixon is still officially president, but Friday morning he'll officially give a letter of resignation to Secretary of State Kissinger. Mr. Nixon, his family, and close aides will be on a plane heading for San Clemente, California, when Vice President Ford is sworn in at the White House at noon Washington time. The president announced his resignation Thursday night before what is thought to have been the largest broadcast audience in American history. The threat of impeachment and conviction in the aftermath of Watergate forced him to leave office. Mr. Nixon said he did so because it was necessary for the national interest. The president ended the historic speech with these words.
To have served in this office is to have felt a very personal sense of kinship with each and every American. In leaving it, I do so with this prayer. May God's grace be with you in all the days ahead.
More on the story in a moment.
I'm sitting on the beach, it's 90 degrees, and my wife says, what about antifreeze? And I say, what about antifreeze? And she says, haven't you heard that song?
You can never buy press down early. Do it now, don't you wait. You can never buy press down early. You can only buy it too late.
Well, it figures you put in a 50-50 mix of Prestone 2 winter-summer formula and water, about 2 gallons for most cars, and you got fresh boil-over protection for the rest of the summer. And you're set for winter without waiting in line when the first frost hits. And listen, only Prestone 2 has a patented silicone silicate inhibitor system. Nothing beats it for corrosion protection. They're right. You can never buy Prestone 2 early. You can only buy it too late.
Can't trust Prestone.
Who can you trust?
Looking toward the presidency of Gerald Ford, the new chief executive has already announced one thing won't change. He says Henry Kissinger will stay on as Secretary of State. About his ability to work with Congress, Ford says this.
I don't think I have a single enemy in the Congress. And the net result is that I think tomorrow I can start out working with Democrats and with Republicans in the House as well as in the Senate to work on the problems, serious ones, which we have at home.
Democratic National Chairman Robert Strauss sounded anxious for his party to get off to a good start with Ford.
Democrats hope to be able to join with our new president in seeking common solutions to our nation's critical problems. And toward this end, we give the new president our sincere pledge of support in his efforts to restore public confidence in the office of the presidency. I wish our president well in the difficult days and months ahead. May God grant him guidance and good health.
Some Democrats made it clear they are not yet through with Richard Nixon. Senate Democratic leader Mike Mansfield said impeachment and a Senate trial would continue whether or not Mr. Nixon stayed in office. But House Speaker Carl Albert Thursday night said impeachment proceedings in the House would come to a halt. Special Watergate prosecutor Leon Jaworski says his office made no agreement nor sought any understanding with President Nixon in connection with the resignation. Jaworski might have to decide whether any criminal charges will be brought against Mr. Nixon in the future. Following the resignation speech, Republican Senator Edward Brooke of Massachusetts says he will drop his move in Congress to get immunity for President Nixon unless the president makes a full confession of his involvement in Watergate. Brooks said that although President Nixon admitted making errors in judgment, he did not specify what those errors were. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
The resignation of President Nixon might never have occurred if it had not been for Frank Wills. He was the security guard on duty at the Watergate complex on June 17, 1972, when he discovered a burglary in progress at the offices of the Democratic National Committee and called the police. Wills had a comment on the big story of the evening. He said, "No one, whatever his station in life, is above the law." Wills has had several other jobs since the Watergate break-in, but he's now unemployed. Doug Poling, CBS News.
This is KOIN Radio 97 in Portland. It's 5 o'clock.
From Washington again, from San Clemente, California, and from West Branch, Iowa, comes today's news. This is Lowell Thomas. Good evening, everybody. As you all know, now for the fourth time in 11 years, we have a new president. And you perhaps watched as Gerald Rudolph Ford, Jr., 61-year-old Michigan lawyer, stood there in the East Room of the White House at noon as Chief Justice Burger administered the oath of office to him, making him the 38th President of the United States. And then, before national TV and a room crowded with family, friends, relatives, senators, congressmen, the new president delivered a brief address saying, "This is not an inaugural address, not a fireside chat, nor a campaign speech. It's just a little straight talk among friends." And he went on to say, "And I intend it to be the first of many. Our long national nightmare is over," said he. "Our Constitution works. Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men." And then he went on to say, to promise, rather, "an administration of openness and candor, an uninterrupted, sincere search for world peace and the solution of problems here at home." At one point, President Ford reminded his nationwide audience, "I am acutely aware you have not elected me president with your ballot, so I ask you to confirm me as president with your prayers." The speech lasted 9 minutes, and immediately after, he met briefly with congressional leaders of both parties, arranging to appear before a joint session of Congress at 9 o'clock next Monday evening. Even as the new president was taking the oath, former President Nixon was airborne on his way to California to resume the life of a private citizen. His expected decision to resign was announced, as you know, last evening, and it was before perhaps the biggest television audience in all history. And today, only the goodbyes were left. At mid-morning, Mr. Nixon, still president, delivered an emotional farewell to his cabinet and White House staff. Flanked by members of his family, he said, "Sure, we've done some things wrong, and the top man always takes the responsibility, and I've never ducked it. We leave with high hopes, in good spirit, with deep humility, and with much gratefulness in our hearts," said he. And then he and most of the members of his family boarded a helicopter on the White House lawn for the flight to Andrews Base, where the Air Force jet, the Spirit of 76, was waiting. It was only after the plane had taken off that his letter of resignation was actually delivered to Secretary of State Kissinger just before noon. It simply read, "I hereby resign the office of President of the United States." President Ford says that foreign policy and inflation will be his top priorities, and he'll nominate a new vice president within a week or 10 days. Senate GOP leader Hugh Scott today endorsed former New York Governor Rockefeller for it, but conservative senators are said to be supporting Barry Goldwater. Henry Kissinger stays on as Secretary of State. So do other members of the Nixon cabinet, for the present at least. The new White House press secretary, Jerry Terhorst of the Detroit News, who has known the new president for 25 years. Late today, Mr. Nixon arrived in San Clemente, receiving a tumultuous welcome from an airport crowd of thousands who wept, cheered, and sang God Bless America. The former president broke into smiles as he emerged from the plane. He said, "I'm going to continue to work for peace and prosperity for this country." Will the former president face possible future prosecution because of Watergate? In San Clemente, Presbyterian minister Joseph Stevens reminded those who hastened to stand in judgment of others. He said, "Remember those who cast the first stone." Former Treasury Secretary John Connally pleaded innocent today to all charges of accepting a $10,000 bribe in return for using his influence to get higher federal price supports for raw milk. At the arraignment in Washington, federal judge George Hart granted Connally's lawyer 45 days to file motions, after which a trial date will be set. The parched Midlands in this country were drenched with rain today, ending the 30-day drought for most of that area. Too late to save the great corn crop, but bringing hope for lesser crops. And now this message.
The world's in love with the sunny day, and smiling faces around the day. Enjoy the sun, but don't overdo. After years and years, too much sun can do harm to you. It makes good sense.
Enjoy the sun, says your American Cancer Society. But remember, constant overexposure can be harmful. So wear a broad-brimmed hat and long sleeves, or apply a screening lotion or cream. As your American Cancer Society says,
it makes good sense.
Years ago tomorrow, one of our great presidents was born in a modest cottage in Iowa. The man who organized relief during World War I, helped 120,000 stranded Americans get safely home, and later saved millions from starvation. Herbert Hoover, great humanitarian, man of unquestionable personal integrity. This is Lowell Thomas for CBS saying so long until Monday.
In the news this Friday afternoon, city officials are hoping for new beginnings and closer relationships with the federal government under President Ford. Both political parties in Oregon are meeting this weekend, and the Democrats are to select a person to run against Bob Packwood in the fall. Some Northwest congressional members feel criminal sanctions against President Nixon should continue. Details now on these and other stories on KOIN's afternoon news report. Democrats are meeting at Baker this weekend to pick a candidate to oppose Bob Packwood in the U.S. Senate race this fall. But political reporter Don Butler says the big question is, can Portland State Senator Betty Roberts be stopped from winning the nomination on the first ballot?
Roberts isn't ready to declare herself a first ballot winner, but she's confident enough of the win that she already has an office lined up to start campaigning on Monday. The secret of Roberts' support lies in the organization she built in her gubernatorial primary race. Roberts gobbled up most of the hardcore grassroots-type workers, the same ones, for the most part, that gave Neil Goldschmidt the big wins he experienced and George McGovern his good showing in Oregon. Most of these people are still willing to go to the well for Roberts for just about anything, and coincidentally, many of them hold county party leadership positions or precinct posts. As for her chief contenders, Jason Bowe and Joe Smith, they can only hope to deny Roberts a majority on the first few ballots. And if they can deny her, they then must decide on which of them will sacrifice the nomination for the other's victory. That will be a tough decision, and maybe one that can't be made. The big factor in the entire selection process is there is little to bargain with. Winning the nomination carries no political plums, only the promise of an uphill last-minute fight to unseat Bob Packwood. What gives Roberts the edge is that her support is built on loyalty, and that's a difficult thing to come by on short notice. Don Butler, KOIN News.
Oregon Republicans will hold their state convention this weekend in Ashland. Delegates will put together a platform for the next 2 years. State Republican Chairman Lynn Newbery of Talent says he thinks the spirit of Republicans may be dampened by President Nixon's resignation, but he says the party will go ahead with its responsibilities. Senator Henry Jackson of Washington State says that Congress should steer clear of granting immunity to Richard Nixon, since the granting of immunity would subvert the American system. He called Nixon's resignation last night a part of the system's design.
It's the story of the greatness of our people. Even greater than the Constitution, our people. It's like the English system now. They don't have a written Constitution. They know what their rights are, and I think the American people know what their rights are. And the Founding Fathers laid that foundation in our for our schools, for process of training. Education has been going on, and to grant immunity at the summit, which is to be an example for all subjects of our nation, would be contrary to everything that our country stood for.
That's Washington Senator Henry Jackson. Now that Richard Nixon is no longer president, he is subject to the legal processes from being called as a witness to being named as a defendant. Oregon Senator Bob Packwood was asked if the criminal prosecution from Watergate should be stopped insofar as Mr. Nixon is concerned.
Just because he's resigned, that should in essence call from everybody in this country for an act of forgiveness, and we'll say no matter what happened, no matter what was done, no matter how bad the cover-up and the crimes may have been, because he was the president, we'll forget it. I just think that even the president has to be held with the same standard that you or anybody else is, and that it would be very unwise for Congress, if it even has the power, to just pass an act of immunity.
That's Bob Packwood of the state of Oregon. Also happening in today's news, the garbage truck driver strike in Vancouver continues without resolution. Multnomah County commissioners are to meet with North Portland residents this evening regarding a proposed work release center. Charles Armsbury is out of jail, and somebody from the Pacific Northwest may be the next vice president. We'll check these and other stories along with weather and business information following the sports. KOIN News Time is 5:10.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Bill Shonley on sports, brought to you by Equitable Savings. Equitable Savings is people with up to 10,000 green stamps for you during the month of August. This is Dave Bell, sitting in for Bill Shonley. Well, Gary Player tied the tournament record with a 6-under par 64 this afternoon to move within two strokes of the lead in the PGA Golf Championship at Winston-Salem, North Carolina. However, the leader, 36 holes, Seaside's John Schley, with a 5-under par 135. He had a 67 today. One stroke behind is Hubie Green, alone in second place with a pair of 68s with a 136. But attention is focused on the big three who trail Schley and Green. Player trying to join Ben Hogan as the only man ever to win three major championships in a single year is in a tie at 137 with fellow South African Bobby Cole. Jack Nicklaus, following his second straight 69, is at a 138. Lee Trevino, who had a red-hot 66 today, is in with a 139. Well, it's talk at the negotiation table, but on the field this weekend, the leather pads will pop in pro football. With the strike of the NFL players almost 6 weeks old, the full schedule of 13 preseason games will be played over the four-day weekend. There are two games tonight, seven tomorrow, one on Sunday, three Monday night contests. Tonight's game will send Houston against Washington and Detroit against Baltimore. The Washington game will have a counter-attraction. The striking players will play a game of touch football in a parking lot outside John F. Kennedy Stadium. Admission will be free to the touch football game. Miami Dolphins disposed of three players today. They traded wide receiver Charlie Wade to the Chicago Bears for an undisclosed 1975 draft choice. They sold two rookies, linebacker Mike Kirk and tackle Lincoln Fugue, to the Cleveland Browns. In baseball this afternoon, Gary Matthews and Dave Kingman hit home runs to lift the San Francisco Giants to a 3-0 victory over the Chicago Cubs. Right-hander Jim Barr hurled a six-hitter for his fourth shutout, his 10th win this season. It was the 12th time Chicago has been blank this season, the fifth straight Cubs setback. Steve Stone, the first of four Chicago pitchers, suffered the loss. Also in baseball news, a group of Oakland, California, Oakland A's fans, aroused by reports the two-time world champions will be moved, today sent a sharply worded letter to the American League president Lee McPhail. They demanded that he issue a statement under penalty of perjury that the A's will not be moved. In a recent story, McPhail was quoted as saying he intends to move an existing team to Seattle, Washington. In the story by the Seattle Times, McPhail said he was going over lease arrangements and other details with Seattle officials. Fans today demanded that McPhail issue a statement under penalty of perjury that Oakland was not the existing team he referred to in moving to the team that he referred to, that is, in his Seattle news conference. There you go. They also asked that he swear that the American League will not, under any condition, permit the A's to be moved from Oakland. Up in Seattle, they're talking about the Seattle A's. I'll be back with more sports after this for the people at Equitable Savings.
Now, during August, Equitable Savings brings you a green stamp offer unique in the Northwest. We'll give you up to 10,000 S&H green stamps free. Two stamps for every dollar when you start a $1,000 minimum four-year certificate of deposit, returning a high 7% interest rate. Naturally, there's a substantial interest penalty for early withdrawal. Equitable Savings. People with a mountain of green stamps for Northwest savers. Up to 10,000 S&H green stamps. Yours all at once. Plus a high 7% return. But only during August at Equitable Savings.
People, people.
Things are tightening up in the Western Division of the Northwest League. Both Seattle and Bellingham posted wins last night, and division leader Portland lost. Seattle now trails the Mavs by just one game. Bellingham is only two back. In the Eastern Division, Walla Walla split a doubleheader, and they have just a game and a half lead now over Eugene. Tonight's action, three doubleheaders on tap. Portland plays two in Bellingham, Seattle a pair in Tri-City, Walla Walla plays two in New Westminster. And hockey on a limited scale returns to Portland this coming season, with play scheduled to begin about the middle of October. Former Buckaroo Arnie Schmatz made the announcement today that the Portland Buckaroos, loaded with familiar names, will play a 20-game home schedule at Jansen Beach Arena against teams like Spokane, Kimberley, Nelson, Trail, and Cranbrook. The latter four clubs all based in British Columbia, Canada, and playing in the Western International League. Tonight, on Calling All Sports, several former Buckaroos involved in the new team will appear as guests of Bill Anderson. Airtime will be 6 o'clock here on KOIN. Tickets for this season are now available at Jansen Beach Arena. They'll have more details on Calling All Sports. Bill Shonley on Sports was brought to you by Equitable Savings, people with up to 10,000 green stamps for you during the month of August. For Bill Shonley, I'm Dave Bell.